Red light on.
Okay.
We're on now. Okay. When Sister Linda called and asked if we could come up and do the camp meeting, I knew we had a motorcycle rally over in Vancouver. And that's where Brother Jerry's at right now. In fact, he's preaching tonight over there. I'm preaching over here. Amen. We're double teaming Canada. Okay. And so I told her, I said, well, let me pray about it. Let me go ahead and see what will work out and everything. But I think we're out. I think we're in Canada, but not in your direction. And so I got to praying. I've learned when you don't know what to do, you pray. How many knows that? Don't know what to do, you pray. I give you a good nugget right then. You don't know what to do, you go to the cross. You get to a crossroad, you go to the cross. And you pray. And you listen to God. And I've always been able to get in the presence of God very easily and very quick. And I start off with praise and worship. It's that they got us in the presence of God. Did you feel how we got in the presence of God during praise and worship? It'll lead you right into the presence of God. Then I pray in the Holy Spirit. That's probably one of my most powerful tools after being saved, was being filled with the Holy Spirit and being able to pray in tongues. And so I started praying over this meeting. And the Lord said, I want you there. The bush is not foreign to me. I go to the bush all time. Okay? And this is really not bush. Okay? This is nice bush. Okay? I go to bush that's bush. Very dangerous animals. And I know you have moose here. They're pretty dangerous. And I know you have probably a few bear. A little dangerous. But some of the areas I go into, it really is bush. So I really was excited when God said, come up and do this meeting. I didn't know that we were going to do actually a tour. At first, it was just coming up, doing Linda's camp meeting and your camp meeting, and then going back home or going to Walter's. And then God spoke as we're in prayer again, praying, and got in the presence of God, was praying and said, call Linda and ask her if she knows any more Word of Faith ministries. Because Brother Jerry said a long time ago that our job is to go in as evangelists. We're evangelists, teachers, and we're to help complete the churches as they help complete us. And that's what it's all about. Not competition, but completion. And so Sister Linda hooked us up in two other churches, so we're nonstop this time. And I was so excited because I've been coming to Canada for years and years. I've went in every part of Canada, but I never came into Saskatchewan or Manitoba. That was two of the areas I had not been in. All the other areas I'd been in, preached, did several churches, but never been here. So I was excited about it. And then I heard it was going to be a campground type deal. Well, one of the churches I'm hooked up with, Montana, we do one of these every year. Same thing. I mean, when I drove in, I could, if I closed my eyes and opened them, I thought I'd been in Montana. Because same type terrain, bush type, you know, really green, pretty, you know, and that's what I love. But what I was excited about was bringing the Word to you. That's what I was excited about. And sharing with you things God has shared with me over all these years. And how He changed my life and still is changing my life. But in the business world, in the ministry, in every phase that I turned to Him and I would seek Him, He would show me what to do. I started out with Him in business because at that time when I first, I had been a Christian for years, youth leader at 16, and then went into a real legalistic type church. I could see nothing I wanted there, so I took off another direction. And I run for quite a few years another direction. Always believed Jesus was the Son of God. Always. Always knew that the Lord was real. Always. But I was going a different way. And then finally, my mom started praying. How many know there's power in prayer? Yeah. Mom started praying. My grandmother started praying. Dr. Sabelle started praying. We're first cousins. Favorite cousins. We're 14 days apart. Whoa. Our moms, our dads were in the war, World War II. Our moms lived in California. And Brother Jerry was born December 24th. And his dad actually made it back from overseas, picked him up and got him into Mississippi, and that's where he was born. My dad never got back that quick, so I was born in San Diego, California. He came back right after that, and we moved back to Oklahoma. So I was born January 8th. We're 14 days apart. Jerry is the oldest, and I let him know that now. That was not popular growing up, okay? When we were young, I didn't like that, but now I kind of enjoy it, so he's the oldest. But we were favorite cousins. We did everything together. Our summers, we went to the lakes, we skied, we fished, we hunted. Everything, we were favorite cousins. Little did we know that God had something planned for those two favorite cousins. And so I went in my profession, and I went into the banking profession. I went in as a police officer. I served as a police officer and a banker at the same time. Never had to arrest one of my customers. Amen. If I seen they were one of my customers, I called for another unit because that was a conflict of interest. And so I spent 15 years working as a police officer, 21 years as a banker, and then God spoke to us in a prayer meeting. And I've always learned that I've got to hear God. I've got to know what His will is for my life and for my family. And we were in a prayer meeting on a Tuesday night. And our church, we had a Sunday morning, Sunday night service. Then we had a Tuesday night, and all we did was pray on that night. We went into the sanctuary. We found a comfortable place. We quoted some word, and then we started praying in the Spirit. And then whatever came out of that, if it could be interpretation of the tongues, or it could have just been God speaking to you one-on-one. And that's how I learned to hear Him a lot, was one-on-one. And I remember I was laying there in the floor just praying in the Spirit, and I heard the Lord say, "I'm going to give you a vision tonight." And I'd never had a vision, and I didn't have a vision like what you see. I had the vision as He spoke. I could see it. It just, when He spoke, it was such rhema word, I actually seen the vision. And He said, "I want you to feed my people." That's all He said. "I want you to feed my people." And I said, "Lord, I don't know what that means." He said, "I want you to feed my people." And I said, "You want me to physically feed them?" And He said, "Yes." And so He said, "Start tonight." And when I left that prayer meeting, I got in the car and I was driving down the road and I seen a drunk. And now you got to remember, what did I say the Lord told me? Feed my people. Feed my people. He looks at everybody as His people, but not everybody will take a choice to choose Him. Amen. And so I'm going down the road and I see this drunk, and I thought, Lord said, feed him. I said, he's one of yours? He's full of wine, but the wrong type. And so I knew this man. I had arrested him several times for drunk. And I knew him. And I remember I got up and I'm thinking, Lord, now you said feed him. So I'm actually going to get him and take him to a restaurant and feed him. And he's drunk. And he walked like this. His name was Harjo. And Harjo walked like this because if he run into a wall, he could change and go the other way until he hit that, and then he'd go this way. That was Harjo. And so I stopped the car. I said, "Harjo, I come to feed you." And he said, "Boss Joe," called you boss. See, the ones that's been in jail quite a few times, they'd call you boss. "Boss Joe, you're taking me to the jail." I said, "No, I'm taking you to feed you." He said, "At the jail," because he knew he spent a lot of time at the jail. He knew they'd feed him. He knew all that. "Yeah, Boss Joe, I know you're taking me to jail." I said, no, "Harjo, I'm not taking you to jail. I'm taking you to a restaurant and I'm going to buy you food." And I took him to the restaurant and we went in. And he had quite an odor to him. And the girl come up and I ordered food. He ordered food. And I started noticing something. I told her, "Bring him some coffee." He started sobering up. And I'm talking now, I know drunks, and I know how long it takes them to get them off of alcohol, and I know usually how many hours it's going to take when they drank until it's not in their blood system. And he's starting to sober up, and I'm sitting here watching him, you know, and I'm thinking, "Lord, you're doing this." He said, I am. You know, you can hear him. He'll talk to you. And he said, "Now, just go ahead and feed him." I fed him. And he said, "Boss Joe, why would you do this?" Now, see, when God speaks to you, it's going to put you on the spot. Come on, stay with me. When somebody asks you a question, you can't lie to them. And he says, why would you do this? And I said, because God told me to feed his people. He said, God told you? Now he's sobering up pretty good now. He's getting sober. He's not under the influence of alcohol right now. Should be, but not. And it was one of the first kind of miracles I'd ever seen, to where God did something right in front of me, and I knew it wasn't supposed to be that way. So I knew man couldn't do it. Only God could do it. And so I asked him, I said, Hart Joe, I said, do you know the Lord? I said, do you know the Lord? And he said, you know, I used to be a Christian. He said, but I've done so much, and I've done so many things, I could never go back. I said, oh yeah, you can. And I led him to the Lord right there. Into the restaurant. This is when the Lord said, you'll feed my people physically, and you'll feed my people spiritually. That's when I heard that first vision ever had. And then when I got through, I drove him to his house, let him out of the car, sober as could be. And then I had a testimony. I had a testimony. I knew how to get people sober now, instead of taking them in through detox and watching them shake and watching them go through all these different things. I learned that you could lay hands on the sick and they would recover. I'm learning a lot of stuff, but it's new to me, so I don't really know what all of it will work and what won't work. I have to go by faith. Mm-hmm. Have to go by faith. And so as soon as I let Hard Joe out of the car, he thanked me for the food. He never drank again, never went back to jail again. Praise the Lord. God changed his life that night. Praise Jesus. He changed his life. But he didn't only change Hard Joe's life, he changed my life. Yeah. Because I seen that the Word was real. God would speak to you and he would do what he wanted to do. And so I never forgot that. When I let him out of the car, that's when the Lord said, you'll feed him spiritual, you'll feed him physically. And you won't just feed one, but you start off with one. People, to let your light shine, you start with one. You start where you're at. Where, whatever city you're in, that's where you have to start letting that light shine before he'll ever take you anywhere else. Because that's where it all starts. He's a mass God. He's a one-on-one God. Amen? He's both. And so that night when I let him out, I heard the Lord say, I'm going to put you to work in a ministry. And I thought, a ministry? And so He said, yes, you've got three ministries that you can go to work for. Kenneth Hagin Ministries, I knew Brother Hagin, Buddy Harrison, or Jerry Savelle. Well, there was only one thing wrong. Jerry Savelle was kinfolks. And I didn't want to work for kinfolks. Anybody ever had any good relations with your kinfolks in business deals? Just me, huh? Got to tell you about one little situation and you'll know what I was talking about. So I'm wrestling with going to work for Brother Jerry. I'm not having any trouble with Brother Hagin. I'm not having any trouble with Brother Harrison. But when it comes to me thinking about Brother Jerry, he's family. You know. And it always brought me back to when one of my family called me one time and said, Joe, I want you to help me go. We're going to become hog farmers. Now I'm a banker. Banker and a police officer in retail stores. We're going to be hog farmers. And I said, I don't want to be a hog farmer. He said, yeah, we're going to be hog farmers. And I said, okay, tell me a little bit about this venture. He said, well, all you got to do is put the money up. You don't have to do any of the work. All you got to do is put the money up. We raise the hogs. And when the hogs have all their little ones and we sell the hogs, we split the profit. Well, that sounded pretty good to me. Only one thing wrong. I didn't go to the Lord and ask him if he was in the hog business. See, I should have went to the Lord and said, Lord, is this a deal for me? Is this what you want me to do with this person? And I didn't say anything. And so I just went ahead and went into the business of hog farming. They bought the hogs. They got them all ready. All these little hogs They had all these little babies and everything. And this guy calls me and he says, I got good news and I got bad news. And I said, which do you want first? And I said, well, I'll take the good news. You know, I like the positive. And he said, well, the pig had little ones. All of them. And I said, well, that's good. That's good news. That's what we're in it for. He said, yeah, but the bad news is all yours, they went into the river and they drowned. I said, my hogs went in the river and all of them drowned. He said, yeah, they did. I said, what about your hogs? He said, no, my hogs didn't. My hogs lived. I said, how did you know they were your hogs? Did they have an M on their forehead or something? That's why mine were? He said, no, they were all out of your hog. Well, my hogs all drowned. So when it come to splitting profit, there wasn't any on my side because all my hogs had died. And so when we finally split up, they butchered a hog and they brought me some meat. That's what my hog was. In other words, I could have bought a whole lot of hog, but I got a package of meat for my investment. Well, you know, you can't get offended. Come on. You got to love them. Got to love them. You don't have to go back in the hog business with them, but you got to love them. And so I said, Lord, I'm not going to take offense on this, and I forgive them right now. I knew what to do because I'd learned the word. And so I was walking in the word, and I said, Lord, was you in this? He said, Joe, I was never in that, but you didn't ask me. Well, that was my relationship with my family. And so I think of Brother Jerry, and I thought, you know, I don't think Brother Jerry would always want to go become a hog farmer. You know, so I'm rationing, and then finally the Lord just spoke and said, Joe, you're going to work for Jerry Savelle. Well, that was 37 and a half years ago, okay? And I can say we've never had any hog farming done. Never been bad words. It's been awesome because God put it together. From our birth, He put it together. Before our birth, He put it together. And so that was actually how I got to go into it. Well, I went in for the business. I retired from the bank. I gave my notice at the police department. I sold my gun shop. I had a retail gun shop that was for police officers and hunters and all that. And so I got all that. Sold all our house, and when we got through, we had lots of cash to move to Texas. God was blessing every bit of it, and I went down and just was doing the business. And I never forget that Brother Jerry came to me one time, and he said, Joe, I want you to go to Africa with me. Now, I told you I've been into the bush a lot of places. But when he came up that way, God had not placed that in my heart. He had placed it in my heart to do the business for Brother Jerry, but when it actually come to go into Africa, I'd never been out of Oklahoma and Texas. And so I just told Brother Jerry, I said, Brother Jerry, no, I don't want to go to Africa. And he said, well, would you at least pray about it? See, he got back to what I was supposed to do. When you get to a crossroad, what do? You pray. And so he said, would you go pray? So I went and I prayed, and the Lord said, you're to go to Africa, but it's not time yet. And so I went back to Brother Jerry and said, Brother Jerry, yes, I will go to Africa, but it's not for this trip. And he said, oh, I'm okay with that. And all the next year, God started putting a love for little African kids, Africa and everything into my heart. He started preparing me for a journey that would last for many, many years. And so the next year when Brother Jerry said, okay, is it this year? I said, it is. And he said, will you come? And he said, what we'll do is, he said, we'll start all of our stuff off with hearing God on what we're supposed to do in every step of the trip. And that's where I knew that I would be okay. And so I left Texas, went to Africa, never been out of the United States before. And when I got to Africa, I started seeing just miracles, signs, and wonders that I'd never seen in my life. People raised from the dead, blind eyes open, and deaf ears open. I'd seen some of that, but not a lot of it. But boy, over there, it was just almost an everyday occurrence I seen, you know. And I'm very comfortable with Brother Jerry because he's the minister. He's telling me actually what to do. And, you know, but now, Brother Joe, you pray while I minister, you know, I'm okay with that. But then we got up one morning and he said, I'm going to one area and you're going to another area. And I said, oh, no, we're not. I said, no, we're both going to the same area. See, I'm very comfortable with Brother Jerry. I see his faith. I know his level of faith. And I'm comfortable with his faith. And I'm comfortable with my faith with him. But now he's saying, you're going to go to one area. I'm going to go to the other area. And so I built myself up in faith, you know. And it says Jude says if you're praying in the Holy Ghost, you'll build up your most holy faith. I started praying in the Holy Spirit. And so sure enough, the cars come. One picked Brother Jerry up, took him this area. One picked me up, took me this area. And when I got out there, it was just a multitude of people. And I mean, they were standing in the rain waiting to hear the Word of God. I'd never experienced anything like that. They were so hungry for the Word of God. All of them was soaking wet. The rain was coming down. And they had built... you have brush harbors here? You know what a brush harbor is? On our Indian properties back home in Oklahoma, they build a brush harbor, and all it is it's just it's poles put up, and they put thatch roof on it so it keeps you out of the sun or the rain, but they're just not very big. Well, they had built one of those over there. And so for us to get under, and they were all standing in the rain. And so I'm standing there, you know, and I'm ready to minister to them. Now, what I'm getting ready to minister to you about is letting your light shine. Letting your light shine. In other words, when God gives you a word, He gives you all the power, all the provision it takes to get that done. Every bit of it. But you got to let your light shine. You got to listen to Him. And when you hear Him, you got to obey. Amen. That's part of letting your light shine. When I travel, I told you, I go to the bush a lot. I always have my little light that shines. You know, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That little song we were taught years back, because you make a choice. You can either let your light shine or you don't have to let it shine. It's up to you. It's a choice we make. But I always carry the little light for two reasons. If all the power goes out, I can still preach. You don't have to have the sound, but you have to have light to see the Word. The Word will lighten you. And when you let your little light shine, it will spread and give other people light. And that's what this is all about, people. As we share the gospel with other people, it turns their light on. And your light bulb can be little or it can be big. This one goes right on my little hip. But then I can bring out the next one and it's got a little bit more power. It's just a little bit brighter because it's got a little more power. Your power is that you determine what power you have because God gave it to you. But your power is built from praying in the Spirit, reading His Word, and living the life of faith. And as you do that, your light gets brighter and brighter. It might start out kind of dim. It's not because of lack of power with Him. It's because of what you have put in. The more power I put in, the more light I put out. Okay? A little bit littler, but still a little bit more light. Okay, but the more I pray, I'll get into the bigger lights. I'll get into a light quite like this, which every time I pray, it starts getting more powerful and more powerful. The more power I allow Him to use me to do, the more brighter my light gets. I'm going to give you another word for light. It's called witness. Your witness. And that's where I really want to start tonight, ministering you to the Word about your witness. Wherever you go, you have a witness. Everywhere I go, I can leave a good representation of God or a bad one. Anywhere I go, any time of the day. And I'll give you an illustration on that. I'm getting ready to go to Walmart and I'm going to buy a couple of items. And so I see a parking place right up front. And so I steer my car up front, but coming down the wrong road is a car and it whips right in front of it and takes my parking place. I can let my light shine, or I can shake my fist. All in my power. Now I know what the Word says. The Word will say, give it to them. If I give them the parking place, I get 100. If I give them the parking place, I got 100 coming. Amen? So when the lady got out of the car, she said, I'm sorry. I said, I will bless you. You're blessed. But I had a choice to make. I can let my light shine and say, bless you. Or I can shake my fist at her and say, move that car. That's my parking place. It's all in choice. But how much word I put in is what's going to make me make that choice. If I'm seeing God's way, I won't follow that other way. I'll go God's way. Now I want to give you some word, okay? How long do we have anyway? How long do we go about? Just go? Okay, well, that. In the bush sometimes we go 8 hours. Okay, I want to give you Colossians 1:27 first, okay? And you'll see where we're going. We're going to build a base. We're going to build it about letting our light shine. Every one of us, not just one of us. Now there's a body. How many know when y'all get all these bodies together with lights? Man, it'll light up this whole campground. If we all got our bright lights out and turn, and then when it gets dark, we all go out there, there's a big light, okay? All right. Colossians 1:27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles or sinners, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everybody say, Christ in me.
Christ in me.
That is the light.
That is the light.
Christ in me is the light. Amen. Without Him, you got no light. But with Him, you got a bright light. Now, the more I know about what Christ is in me, the more I can let my light shine. When I first went to Africa and with Brother Jerry on that trip, and I get out there and I see that multitude of people, and I'd already knew what the Lord had told me to minister, and they said, Brother Joe, we want to take communion first. I love to take communion. God's body, the drink, the body. I love to take communion. And so he put all the elders up here with me. And I'm looking at all the elders. And I'm standing right here looking at all the elders. You know, they're up here and we're going to take communion. And so I'm excited because I know communion will build an atmosphere for the Word of God. And it's we're examining ourselves. So I'm excited about that. And I got to looking and I don't see the elements. Okay, where are the elements? You know, I wonder where the elements are that we're going to... We got to have the drink. We got to have the bread. Where are the elements? And I'm looking here, and all of a sudden, you know, I look over here and I see a man with a soup can. A soup can. And he dips it in a little muddy water. And then he pours a little powder in it. Where's the elements? Oh, that cannot be the elements. Oh, surely that's not the elements. See, Lord, hold it. Lord, we get the individuals. We don't really have to drink after anybody. Little individuals. Little cracker nobody else has had. Because see, this is our way. Lord, where's the elements? He said, that's it. I said, Lord, he's dipping that soup can in muddy water and he poured something in there and it looked like Kool-Aid. You know how you make up Kool-Aid? That's going to be the drink. Now, I'm looking. Now, you know we don't go by sight. But how many know the devil loves to use sight to get us cheated out of what our calling is or what we're called to do? So he'll get our eyes on that to distract us on why we're there. Why are we there? To minister to those people. Why are we there? To lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Why are we there? To see them start to prosper. But my imagination is not on that now. It's on that soup can. And so I'm standing there, and I started looking down the line because the soup can started down there and every one of them's taking a drink. Oh. 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 Lord, I've heard about those AIDS. And it looks like these three men down here have them. And they're going to drink before I get it. I'm serious. Now, it sounds funny now. It was not funny then. And I'm thinking, oh. And I'm thinking, how can I get out of this? See, come on. I don't want to let my light shine right now. I've come against an obstacle that I just don't like it. Come on, stay with me. It's getting pretty good. All right? Because what's it doing? Distracting me and trying to get me off of letting my light shine. And so I started thinking of scriptures. I got to have a scripture. You know, when you get in a real spot, you've got to have a scripture. So I think of the one and I'm thinking, okay, oh, Jesus, yeah, I remember. I remember you said, if this cup can pass, that's what I can do. I can do it, Lord. When it gets to me, I'll just pass that cup. And he said, read the rest of the verse. Because see, we're good about hearing part of it. Pass that cup. But then he said, no, not my will, but your will. I said, Lord, I'm going to have to drink that cup, aren't I? He said, yes, you are. See, now I've heard the rhema word now. So I already know when you hear the rhema word, you're either going to be disobedient or obedient. And I have made the choice to be obedient. So I'm watching that cup. And so he said, well, why don't you use the scripture you read a lot where if you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. Come on. Yes. It's in our great commission. You know, our great commission. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. Lay hands on the sick. Amen. And if you drink any deadly thing, it will not harm you. Amen. If you eat any deadly thing, it will not harm you. And so I said, there's my scripture. So when that cup got here, I took a drink. Passed it on. Okay? Well, the bread was as bad as the drink. It was green. This bread was green. But you know what? I'd already said, hey, it don't matter what it is. It will not harm my body. And so when it came to me, I took of the bread. And then I went right down there and laid hands on those three men that actually did have AIDS. I did not know it at the time, but the devil let me know it. But then when God said, lay your hands on them and they'll live. Now, if I had not partake of the elements, they would have not believed one thing I said. My light would have not shined very bright. But when I took those elements just like they did, believing God that no harm would come to my body, I went over, laid hands on them, and those men became workers in our church and lived and did not die.
Praise God. Praise Jesus.
Come on, it's getting good. That was my first experience in Africa. But I did at that time see demon-possessed people totally set free. Healings that I'd never seen before. All during that. But see, the devil will always try to put obstacles and try to talk you out of doing what God said you can do. But we don't listen to him. Let's go on. Christ in us. Everybody say, Christ in me.
Christ in me.
The hope of glory.
The hope of glory.
Amen. In Luke 3:16, John answers, saying unto them, I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I cometh, the latches on whom his shoe I'm not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. With fire. What does fire do? If I'm out hunting and I'm lost, if I can see a fire or a light, that's where I'm going to go. That usually means there's safety there of some kind. And I remember time and time again that when we would go camping, the way you actually built your fire up is you could get that fire as hot as you wanted. All you had to do was put more wood on it. I found out that I can get hotter and hotter with the fire of God by putting the Word of God in here and praying in the Spirit and then doing what He tells me to do. I can get it so hot that I can light somebody else's fire. You're contagious. You're contagious with the light of God. You're contagious with the Word of God that sets people free. And there's a lot of people that want that. Amen. Let's go on. In John 14, the Lord makes a statement. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me. How many believers do we have tonight? He's talking about you. He's talking about you. The works that I do, he shall do also. Who? The believer. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go to be with my Father. When I read that one time, when I'd go to a healing service, you know, it was almost like I took their burden on. In other words, I knew if I laid hands on them and I didn't see something, I felt bad. And I remember that the first time I got to sit with Brother Oral Roberts in Africa, I said, Brother Roberts, what did you do in the early years when you laid hands on somebody? And maybe this one was healed, this one wasn't healed. And I said, what did you do? He said, I never took thought of it, Joe, because I'm not the healer. It set me free. Christ in us, the hope of glory. Christ will use our hands, but He's the healer, you're not. And it set me at peace. All I've got to do is hear Him, do what He tells me to do, but He's the healer. And then right after that, Brother Robert said, Joe, if the next one in line drops dead, I'll just go pray for the next one. And it put me at peace because I found that God is going to be the one that's going to do the miracles. We're the instruments He uses. Christ in us, the very hope of glory. The Holy Spirit in us. And so it actually took me to an area to where I could say, Lord, I understand what the gospel is all about. I understand what you said about greater works. Because I thought, how could you do any greater works than Christ? And He said, Joe, there's more of you that can do it. He could only be in one place at one time. But when He went to the Father and sent the Holy Spirit back, He's got all, He took and dumped Himself into all of us where we can go all over the world. Brother Jerry's in Vancouver. I'm in Saskatchewan. But we both got Jesus in here and He can work through both of us. Amen? And He will. But you see, because I always thought, how could you do greater works than that? More of us to do it. You can do it in every nation. You can do it just like you here. One of you can be over in one area of Saskatchewan, one in another, one in Manitoba. And we're all doing what Jesus commissioned us to do. We're all hearing Him and doing what He said. Amen. I want to take you to a couple of scriptures that whenever I started really getting and studying about hearing God, there were key scriptures that God gave me to kind of lead me and guide me into knowing kind of how and what to do. And I want to give you some of those to start off with, then we'll go back to the light. But I want to talk to you really quick about how you hear God. When I get up of a morning, I want to get in His presence right off. And so I made a choice years back that I would get up before the rest of my family did. And so I'll get up usually 30 minutes to an hour before my family starts getting up. That's my time. That's my time starting my day off. And the first thing I do, and you know, we got so many new tools now with iPads and the iPhones and stuff. Your music is on it. Your Bible's on it. I mean, it's tremendous. And so when I first get up of a morning, I just say, Lord, I love You. First thing I say, and then I just start my music playing. I start getting in His presence. And then I start just praying. And what I'm doing is I'm getting myself in the presence of God from the beginning to where I can hear Him clearly all day long. I'm making that contact. If I don't, it doesn't matter. He can still use it, but that's how I chose to do it. That's how my comfort. Brother Jerry told me one time, he said, Joe, when I got up early in the morning to study the Word, he said, I would still be sleepy. And he said, so I got to where I would go into the bathtub and I would put the, where the water came out, I would put it into my back and I would back up against it to where I couldn't go to sleep. And he said, we have to make those decisions of what works for us. Well, what works for me is getting in the presence of God in music. I loved music when I was growing up. I played a trumpet. I played a saxophone. I enjoyed music, so I've always loved music. And especially in the church, because I played a lot of it in the church. So the music helped me get in His presence and then praying. And a lot of times when I start off, I might be praying for something, a specific thing, but then I'll just start praying the Spirit, and then that's when I can hear Him. And sometimes it has nothing to do with what I just prayed. It's at His timing. And so I love to start my mornings off like that. But then I go to the Word, and I start looking at the Scriptures, and this is what I want to give you. Back in Deuteronomy in chapter 5, there were people that wanted to see His glory. And when I found this scripture, I had never seen it before, and my pastor came to me, and this was way before I started with Brother Jerry, and he said, Joe, I want to show you a scripture. He said, because a lot of people have problem with thinking God doesn't talk to them anymore. And I didn't know if He did or didn't. I'd never really heard Him, so it wasn't something that I either believed or disbelieved. I didn't know, because I don't remember ever thinking I heard Him. I got these insinuations of different things, and maybe that was God working with me, but I never really knew if He did or if He didn't. And He gave me this scripture in Deuteronomy 5, verse 24. It became one of my key verses. And ye said, behold, the Lord our God has showed us His glory and His greatness. Two things. And they said, behold, the Lord our God, not somebody else's God, has showed us His glory and His greatness. And we have heard His voice out of the midst of the fire. And we have seen this day that God does talk with man and He lives. Not only does He talk to man, He's alive. And when I read that, I thought, Lord, I can stand on this with my confession because Your Word says it. It says You talk to man. I'm a man. So therefore, I'm going to change it a little bit and say, you can talk to Joe McCroskey. And you can show me You live. And those two things was probably two of the major things in my life that started making a change on how God could use you. Number one, you've got to know He lives. And that He lives through you. And number two, you got to know He'll talk to you. And from that, then my pastor told me, he said, Joe, he said, have you ever went to Deuteronomy? And I said, oh, I love Deuteronomy because that's our blessing chapter. Deuteronomy 28. Anybody ever read it?
Yeah.
But what is the first two scriptures? Let's read the first two scriptures. Listen, Deuteronomy 28. And it shall come to pass, something's going to happen, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, not another God, not the 5 o'clock news, your God, to observe and to do all His commandments which He commands you this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee high above all nations of the earth. Now, 1 and 2, listen. And all these blessings, and when I say blessings, I want to share something with you. Blessings is spirit, soul, and body, not just one. Everybody thinks when they hear blessings as money. No, blessings is your health. Blessings is peace of mind. Blessings is your children living a good life. Blessing is spirit, soul, and body. So when he says this, he's talking about, listen, and all these blessings, spirit, soul, and body, will come upon you and overtake you if you'll hearken unto my voice of the Lord your God. And when my pastor showed me that, the revelation went off in me. And I mean, it was like lights going off all around me because I started really looking at what he was saying. If I can hear him today, no matter how big or how little, don't judge hearing God as it's got to be this big. It can be this big. Come on, stay with me. If I hear God today, because Deuteronomy is still talking about today. If I hear God today and He tells me what to do and I do it, all the blessings of God are going to come upon me and overtake me, spirit, soul, and body. Come on. I'm going to give you some real good nuggets now. I have a lot of people say prosperity doesn't work. I have a lot of people say healing doesn't work. I have a lot of people say this, my children, they're not living the godly life, so the word's not working. Let me tell you, the word will work when you hear God, find out your part. Everybody say my part. In everything we do, God will tell us what to do and we have a part. The part can be prayer. The part can be actually going and physically laying hands on somebody. It can be buying somebody a tank of gas. It could be feeding the poor. But I got to find out what is my part. What's His part? What's my part? He'll provide, but I've got to do my part. Come on. Now this part's not real popular sometimes. If He's doing His part and we're not doing our part, then His grace will cover us, but it will not be the perfect will of God like He wants it. Come on, stay with me. You're going to get some good stuff. Amen? So what I've got to do is figure out, God, what are You saying my part is? Once I find that out, okay? My part was take of that cup. His part was keep any poisons and any diseases out of my body. Come on, we're talking about that cup and that line. My part was eat that bread. Believing God can keep every bit of the sickness and disease out of my body, my faith. That's my part. His part is to do it. Come on, it's getting good. Amen. So what I started doing was reading the scriptures. And then if you want to read the next 13, it tells you about if you hear God today and you do what He says, then it tells you what all is going to take place in the next, down to about 13, it tells you all the blessings. Your enemy going to flee. Come on, talking some good stuff. Yeah. You're going to be blessed in the city, blessed in the field. How many of you work in the city? You're going to be blessed. How many work in the field? You're going to be blessed. Your children's going to be blessed. Come on. Now, I want to go back to that time that God told us to go to work for Brother Jerry Savelle. Whenever I heard Him say, Brother Jerry Savelle, He said, Joe, you and Joyce are to go serve Jerry and Carolyn Savelle. That was the way He used the words. You're to go serve Jerry and Carolyn Savelle. And I'll never forget that, because He brought it up to me several times. When Brother Jerry, I remember that I was doing the business. I'd went to Africa with him. And really, I wasn't really ministering a whole lot. I was mostly just sharing testimony, laying hands on people and stuff like that. I knew what my part was. But as far as really teaching the word, I wasn't doing a whole lot of that part. And so I came in one morning and he said, Joe, the dean of our Bible school has left. And he said, I need a teacher. And I said, and my first thoughts was, okay, I'll find a teacher. You know, I'll start looking. And I'll see who's available maybe in our class. I'll look maybe in the school, see if a teacher's available. And he said, no, you. I said, oh, no. No. See, I'm coming back to what I thought my ability was. Your abilities make no difference if God tells you you can do it. Okay, come on, stay with me. So he said, well, pray. Brother Jerry always took me back to prayer. Pray. And I started praying, and the Lord said, Joe, what did I tell you to do when you went to work for Brother Jerry Savelle? I said, you said serve him. See, he said, well, then if he asked you to do something, how would you serve him? I said, well, you'd do it. You know, God is really, yeah, I guess it's worse simple, but He makes it simple for us. And so I went back and told Brother Jerry, I said, Brother Jerry, I will. I'll teach. What do you want me to teach? And Brother Jerry said, I don't know. I said, you don't know what I'm going to teach? You know, in classes you taught math or you taught English or whatever. He said, no, just go pray again. And I went and prayed and I said, Lord, what in the world am I going to teach? And the Lord said, Joe, when you turn your life back over to me, now you got to remember, I was a banker, police officer, okay, retail shops. Joyce had a beauty shop, okay, so we had plenty of businesses. He said, when you turn your business over to me, you learn how to hear me, and that's what I want you to teach. And I thought, well, Lord, I know how to do it, but I don't have all the scriptures to give people in a Bible school. And he said, then you're going to have to study. Study to show yourself approved. And so I'd come in, I'd enjoy my family, and when they'd go to bed, I'd get the Bible and start studying, and I would not quit studying until I knew I had enough for my lesson the next morning. And so I'm in, and I'm teaching all these Bible school students, some of them pastors, been pastors 20 years. And I'm teaching them on how to hear God, and I'm just getting it fresh. And so a lot of times when I'd be teaching them, I'm teaching me. How many know sometimes when you preach, you're preaching to yourself? And so I started teaching on how to be led by the Holy Spirit. And every time I would teach a revelation, I wouldn't let them see it, but I would write it down. And then I would circle it. And I thought, when I get home, I've got to study that. And that's how the Lord says, the Holy Spirit's your teacher. He's your guide. He's your counselor. He's your advocate. All the Holy Spirit's right in here. All I got to do is find out what my part is. And so I'd get home and I'd get my Bible. I'd say, okay, I circled this, so I'm going to find out everything I can about it before the next day. And that's how I end up teaching that class. And God would give me example after example after example. And it becomes so real that I thought, this is a lifestyle. See, I had to finally realize this is not just when you need it, it's a lifestyle. You got to make it a lifestyle. God is a lifestyle. He's not just when you need Him in the bad times. It's for all times. And so then I started looking up more scripture. And Deuteronomy 28, I found that in John 10, it almost said the same thing. It's talking about God talking to you. So I want you to go to John 10. Let's look at 3 through 5. And then I want to share a few illustrations before. And then we're going to pick right up here tomorrow night. We're going to pick up Sunday. And I'm just going to build a good case for you to where. But I want to tell you, even if you don't think you're hearing God now, or you're not hearing Him clearly, the scriptures I'm giving you is what you can base your confession on. Because that's what I did. I based all my confession on scriptures. I can't base my confession on something that's not real. It's got to be real. Amen? All right, John 10. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Are you one of his sheep? You born again? You're one of his sheep. Amen? So what's it say? You might hear his voice. Well, maybe you can hear his voice. It says you will hear his voice. It says, my sheep hear my voice. So that made me be able to confess, Lord, I'm one of your sheep, so therefore I can hear your voice, and I can hear it clearly. Now let's go on. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name. Oh, Lord, you know my name. And he leads them out. You lead me. I'm finding some really good things in just one scripture. He talks to me. He knows my name. He knows where I live. He knows what I need. And He'll lead me. Lead me into what? Danger? Through danger. Lead me into difficulty? No, out of them. He's a good God. He will lead me into all the blessings and the promises. All I got to do what? Now, in this, I want you to see our part and His part. Look. The sheep hear his voice. His part is he's got to speak. My part is I got to listen. Come on. Look. He calls his own sheep by name. He knows where I live. He knows what I need. And he leads me out. All I got to do, he leads. All I got to do is follow. See, we're finding his part and my part. And this is no different with anybody in this room here. We got to find out his part. Our part. Amen? Because, you know, when we get set in our patterns and we pattern a lot of stuff after the world system as we grow up, whether it's in college or school or whatever, and a lot of those things we have to break. We have to change those habits into good habits instead of bad habits. And all I had to do was find out what's God's part, what's my part. Then where I'm responsible is my part. I got to follow him. So if he said, go to Jerry Savelle Ministries and work, I can't go to Kenneth Hagin's and work. You understand what I'm saying? Kenneth Hagin Ministries, great ministry. Love to work there, but I can't. Because the Lord said, I'm leading you to Jerry Savelle Ministries. So if I'm going to follow, I got to go this way. That's my part. Amen. But how many know I got a choice? Everybody say choices.
Choices.
You will make choices all of your life. Because God gave us that right to make a choice. He did not want a puppet. He did not want a robot. You're seeing all these robots they're building now that do a little bit of everything. Okay, he didn't want that. He wanted people that would make a choice to follow him. Are you receiving anything tonight?
Amen.
Come on. All right, let's go on. Verse 4. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them. See, he came before I did to Saskatchewan. He came before I did to Africa. He was there when the soup was dipped into that water. He had already went there. He had already prepared all the provision that I needed. All I got to do is walk my part out. Because he's here. He's right where I need him at any time. There's nowhere I can go that he doesn't. I'll tell you a little funny story. I went to Singapore and I was tired of sitting in the room. Beautiful city, tired of sitting in the room. And I had a meeting that night, but didn't have anything during the day. And so I decided I'd get up and I'd walk. And so I got walking and I go down and I seen kind of like a outdoor flea market. You call them flea markets or trade fairs, whatever you call them. And I thought, well, I'll just go in and see what they got. And I went in and I thought, well, it's all candles. So it's a candle convention. I've never been in a candle convention. So I went in, I'm looking at all these candles, you know, all different types, you know. And I walked up, you know, and that lady said, your God isn't in here. I said, what do you mean? She said, your God isn't in here. Said, you're in our temple. Said, these are candles that we burn to our God. Your God isn't in here. I said, yeah, my God's in here because when I came in, he already came before me. My God's in here right now.
Amen.
Now, she didn't believe any of that because she's actually in her religion. Amen?
Amen?
And I got out of there real quick. Okay? What am I saying? God goes everywhere we do. He's already been there before we do. Now, if he would have said not to go in there, I couldn't have went in there. But I believe what I did is I planted a seed. See, everywhere we go and everything we do, we plant seeds. And I believe I planted a seed in that lady. I never seen it harvest, but you know where it says some plant, some water, and then the harvest. And I believe I planted a seed in that lady that day that, yeah, my God is in here. And I smiled, you know, and talked to her a little bit more, you know, but totally deceived. And she was totally deceived, but I thought I was in a candle convention. How many know God protects you all time? Amen. He'll speak to you when you're in danger. He'll talk to you when you just flat don't know what you're doing. Now this is for a business person, okay? When I went to work for Brother Jerry, I knew how to do business because that I'd been in it 21 years in banking. I'd had the gun shops and all that, and I'd been the police officer. You know, I was able to use a lot of everything I'd learned, I was able to use in the ministry, but it was a little different. And I remember when we were going to buy a piece of property, and I got ready to leave my office. I was going to meet with the people that owned the properties, and they were actually the ones that were going to sell it to us. And so I got ready to walk out the door. And when I did, the Lord said, you need to go to the safe. And we had a safe that we kept our valuables in, paperwork and all that. And so I went in and the Lord said, get this paper right here out. And I got it out and I put it in my briefcase. Got ready to close, he said, and also get this. And also get this. And oh yeah, get this. He told me to get 7 documents. And so I got all 7 of those documents, put them in my briefcase, and I went to that meeting. And so when I got in there, Then we started talking about the prices and everything like that. And we negotiated for a price. And this was going to be a publication building where we did all of our tapes and books. And it was a two-story type building and everything. And so they said, well, you know, we're really interested in selling you the property. He said, but, you know, you're going to have this document right here. And I said, I got that document. And so I handed it to them. And they said, looked at it. All of them looked at it. Yeah, this is okay. Said, well, we'll have to have another document, though, here, this one. I got that one, too. I had all seven documents they needed, and we closed that day and bought that piece of property that day. They said, we've never done it in one day. But God knew all the things to provide to get His work done because it was His perfect will. It's really just that easy. But you've got to, I could have said, I don't have time. Got to meet them. I don't have time to go back and get that. But see, my part was to just do what He said. You getting anything out of this?
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
You understand He's no respecter of persons. You know if He talks to one, He's got to talk to everybody. Right? Okay. Let's go on. Now look. Let's look at verse 4 again. And when He putteth forth His own sheep, He goes before them. And here's His part is going before us. Our part is following Him. Our part is knowing His voice. How are you going to know His voice? You got to know the Word. Come on. You got to know the Word. How are you going to know what to do if you don't know the Word? Is it God speaking to you? Or is it the adversary speaking? Because look at verse 5. Look at verse 5. And the stranger, another name for the stranger is the thief. Another name for the stranger is an adversary. Another name for Satan is devil. Okay, look at what it says. And the stranger will they not follow. They won't follow him, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of the stranger, but we know the voice of God. So I started confessing, Lord, I will not follow the voice of the stranger. I'll only follow God's voice. And if I hear that other voice, I'll know it's the adversary trying to trick me. Even if he tries to use the Word. What do you do with Jesus? He quoted the Word to him. When he was in the temptation, Luke 4, he's in temptation, he quoted him the Word. If you are, quoted him the Word. But he quoted it to deceive him and not lead him into freedom. Amen? So there's two voices. So if I know the Word, I'll use another illustration too. How many know that a lot of people want us to get an agreement with them? You know, they'll come up to you and say, Pastor, will you get in agreement with me? Well, I was doing a meeting in Montana, and a lady came up and said, Brother Joe, I want you to get in agreement with me. I knew this lady, but didn't know her really real well. And so I said, well, you got to tell me a little bit about what we're getting into agreement on. And she said, well, I'm believing for a husband. And I thought, well, okay, we can agree for that. You know, perfect husband for her. And she said, but I know who it is. But I don't. Okay, so now listen. I'm just, okay. She knows him, but I don't know him. She wants me to agree that this is going to be her husband. And so I said, well, I got to ask you a few more questions. I said, now I'm in agreement with you. I'm believing for a husband. That's not a problem. You already say you know who this is. I said, I want to ask you a couple of questions. She said, okay. I said, number one, is he married? Yeah. I done heard God now. I can't agree. He's married. I said, is he divorced? No. I said, so he's still married? Yeah. I said, I can't agree with you on that. Now why? I had to go back to what the Word says. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, she had a part right. Believing for a husband, I can do that. For somebody else's husband, I cannot do that because that goes directly against what the Word says. We understand what we're saying?
Mm-hmm.
All right? Now, she got away from the guy and seen her at a convention and she found the one that was for her. She married him and they were preaching the Word all over the world. That was the true one. The imposter was trying to come in, but she got the real McCoy. Amen. Brother Jerry, I get tickled because Brother Jerry's a Coke man. You don't go buy cola. You know, some of the stores have their own brands of cola. You buy him Coca-Cola. He's a Coke man. He don't want the imposter. Amen. I don't know why that come out. Okay. Don't always know, but hey, it's for somebody. The businessman I was talking about a while ago is, if you'll put God in your business, I learned this a long time ago, He can do things that you won't even know how to do. And when I got turned back on, I had all these businesses. And I said, Lord, I'm turning these businesses over to You. I'll listen to You. It won't always make sense to me because I've been taught another business type, but I'll do what You tell me. And I was going up to Tulsa, Oklahoma to buy some guns for my gun shop. And these were some police officers had needed some pistols, so I knew if I bought 4 pistols, I could sell them within a certain amount of time and make the profit off of them. They didn't order them anything. It was just been, I would have bought them, had them in my gun shop for stock. And then they would have come in and probably bought them. I would have probably made around $50 to $75 a piece back then. That was pretty good back then. So I get up to where I'm going, and I go into the distributor, and the distributor actually sold motorcycles, and then he had a gun distributorship too with Smith & Wesson's, and that's what I was after. And so I went in, and as I walked in, I looked over on the wall, and on the wall was hanging a shotgun. And I carried shotguns, but most of mine were pump shotguns for bird hunting or different things, squirrel hunting, whatever you were doing. I didn't carry double barrels, side by sides. I never got into those. And I walked in, the Lord said, buy that shotgun. I said, Lord, I don't buy shotguns. I buy regular, buy that shotgun. I heard Him just as clear as could be. And I know that I hear Him. I either got to be obedient or I'm going to be disobedient. So I asked the guy, can I look at that shotgun? He brought it over, showed it to me. And I said, yeah, this is nice. How much, what kind of cost is it? Well, what I was going to pay for the 4 pistols, that shotgun was that amount. So I was going to have to now get the shotgun, not get the 4 pistols. Well, I knew I could sell the 4 pistols really quick. But I knew God said buy the shotgun. So I bought the shotgun. And took it home, cleaned it up, put it in the shop. Nobody even looks at it. I mean, the first month goes by, nobody looks at the shotgun. How many know you can kind of get to doubt, and did I really hear God? You know what, maybe I didn't hear Him. Maybe He's not into shotguns either, you know. And so, but then I said, no, I know I heard Him. And He said, Joe, just use your faith. Just believe. Another month goes by. Nobody looked at it. It was 3 months, and a guy come in. And guy said, can I look at that shotgun? I said, yes, sir, you can. Brought it over to him. Because I was wanting to get rid of that shotgun now, get my money, some of my money back. And so he said, do you know what you want for this? And I said, yeah. I said, he said, can I make you an offer? I said, oh, yeah, make me an offer. I learned a long time ago, if somebody makes you an offer, sometimes they'll pay you more than what you really want. And I didn't know what the gun was worth at all. I had no idea. I couldn't find nothing on it, you know. And he knew all about it. He broke it down and seen all the markings on it. He said, I'll give you 3. And now, he's not hearing a word I'm saying, but I'm kind of talking to the Lord now. Lord, I gave $275 for that shotgun. If I get $300, I only made $25. I was going to make $50 to $75 on each one of them pistols. I can't see where this is a blessing. Now, he's not hearing a thing I'm saying. This is just me and God talking. He not hearing nothing. He just standing there wanting it over. You're going to take 3. And so the Lord said, take it. I said, Lord, you know, because we're talking. And I'm thinking, I can't see where this is a blessing. He said, take it. So I told the guy, I said, I'll take it. So the guy, he said, okay. I said, no credit card. Got to be cash. Not taking any credit card. They charge you 4% for credit card. I wasn't going to do that, so got to have cash. So he gets his money out. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 1,000. Oh yeah, Lord, come on. 1, 2, 3, 4, $3,000. $3,000. That was the most profit I ever made off of any gun out of my gun shop. That was the most profit I'd ever made. Gave $275 and sold it for $3,000. But now listen, I got to get back to my part was I'm thinking $300. God's part is He's taking $3,000. We got to learn, how do I hear God clearly? What is He talking and what am I talking? Come on, getting good. Amen. Will it work for you? Yeah. Because if it worked for me, it'll work for you. The only thing I had to do is my part was buy the shotgun. My part was take the three, thinking it was $300, $3,000. I couldn't wait to go in and tell Joyce what our faith had done. What grace had done. Okay. In that instant, grace covered us. Okay. He knew the whole time though. See, one of the teachings that I start off with when we're talking about what we are is in knowing God's part is God knows everything. He'll never come up against anything God doesn't already know what you need to do. He already knows. He knows everything. The part of it is Him getting what He knows to us and then us acting on it. And when we act on it, we're letting our light shine. Okay? All right? I want to go one more scripture. All right? John 14, 26 and 27. John 14, 26 and 27. I love to depend on the Holy Spirit to show us what to do at any time. Amen? This is out of the Amplified. But the Comforter, Counselor, Helper, Intercessor, Advocate, Strengthener, Standby, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, Jesus' name, in my place to represent me, He represents Jesus, act on my behalf, Jesus' behalf, He will teach you all things. He will teach you all things. Listen. And He will cause you, but for He will cause you to recall, will remind you, bring to your remembrance everything I have told you. And then right after that, it tells you a key. My peace I leave you. When I hear God, a lot of times in the things that I don't understand, I'll have a perfect peace. There'll be a perfect peace here that can't pass under no understanding. It's a perfect peace of God. And once you have that, you know you're doing the right thing. Amen? Amen? Yeah. One more illustration. One more illustration. Then we'll call out some symptoms, okay? I got a lot of symptoms rolling around. So I'll be calling out some symptoms for prayer. I was in Albania. And I had a group with me. Not a large group, but we were ministering over there. And we got up to walk early morning. Early morning we'll get up and we'll do our walk and then we'll go get us a cappuccino or a coffee for breakfast and stuff. So that was kind of the pattern that we did over there. So we got up and got ready to walk. And I only knew where the one coffee shop was that we went to all the time. And so I'm walking and there's three of us. And we get to this one turn to where you turn and go down to that coffee shop. And the Lord said, you're not to go there today. And I mean, I heard that just as clear as could be. And I said, well, Lord, I don't know where there's any other coffee shop at. That's the one we always go to. And He said, you're not going there today. You go the other direction. And He said, I'll lead you to another shop. And so I took off that other direction. The guys knew something was a little bit different because they knew we always went to that other one. But they followed and we got up there. And sure enough, found a new coffee shop up there that was actually better than the other one. But that afternoon it came out in the papers that the Islamic people had captured five Westerners right down at that coffee shop. And God had us go to the other coffee shop. Sometimes it can be actually your life He's protecting. Sometimes it can be He's telling you something that you have no way of knowing, but He knows. Okay? You can be getting ready to catch a flight out. And he'll say, go to the airport early. And you have no idea why. But Lord, the flight doesn't leave but 5 hours. We'd be really early. And you go and you find out they canceled that flight. And you get another flight to be in the city you need to be in to share the gospel with the people there. It happens. I could give you illustration after illustration after illustration. Me and Brother Jerry. If Brother Jerry looks at me and he says, Joe, we're not getting on that plane. We're not getting on that plane. Don't have to have a reason. Just if we know we heard God, that's reason enough right there. Amen. I want Him to become so real in your life. And that's why I'm teaching what I am tonight. Is because I found out how valuable it was for me to be a light and a witness for Him. And other people, how many know other people are watching you right now? There's a lot of them watching you right now. Some of them you know are watching you. And some of them you don't know are watching you. But there's people watching. And sometimes you won't be able to preach to those people. But they're watching how you live your life. They're watching how you let your life shine. And that could be the very thing that leads them into the kingdom of God. When I used to make the trade shows, the gun shows, I would sit up with a lot of ungodly people. Okay? And what I would do is I would go in and all my tables, it would be laid out with my products. And I would go in early that morning and all of them, everybody's there. And I'd start laying my hands and praying over my tables. Mm-hmm. Lord, bring them in from the east, the west, the north, and the south. Bring them in, Lord. Let them come right to my table. Let them buy my products. I thank You, Lord, that I'm blessed. I thank You, Lord, that You take care of me and that there'll be no theft. That's what I'd pray. These guys are watching, but they're kind of snickering. You know, how many know that don't hurt you at all? Amen. You're praying over it. It don't matter what people think. You pray over it. You know, just you praying over your meal and bowing your head sometimes can let that person over there know that God's in the place. Yes. Just a prayer. Amen. But I remember one time that after those gun shows, you know, on the Friday night and the Saturday night, they'd say, Joe, come go with us. We're going to some of the clubs and stuff. And I'd say, no, can't do it. Can't do it. Can't do it. Never told them why. I wasn't told to tell them why. I just would say no. Okay? They'd all come back in the next day. Half of them couldn't find their tables. Drunk. You know, headaches. All that kind of stuff. And I thought, Lord, let them go ahead and drink. All the customers come to me, I'll take care of them. You know? No, I didn't really say that. Okay? Because that's not God. But I'd pray over my tables again. And then one time a guy walks up. And he falls right there in the middle of the floor. Has a heart attack. And the Lord said, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to lay hands on him. I laid my hands on his heart. And I commanded his heart to start beating. I commanded life to come back in his body. And he'd come back in. And everybody's watching, but they're snickering, you know. And the Lord said, you pray in the spirit now over him. And how many know you don't really want to do that in the public places all the time. But you know, if he says it's got a reason. And so I started praying over that man. Okay? And that man got up. All these people are watching. But this one young man's been really watching. And so he asked me that night, said, Joe, come out with us. Said, we'll pay for everything. I said, oh, it's not the money. I said, I don't live the lifestyle you do. I said, I don't drink. I don't chase women. I said, I don't do any of that. I said, my business is right here at these tables, and my wife's waiting on me to come home. And when I leave here Sunday, I'll be in church and I'll give them tithes off all my sales. Yes. And he looked at me and said, I knew it. You are a Christian. And I said, yeah, and you probably used to be one. And he said, yeah, my mom's a Pentecostal preacher. And I said, well, I can lead you back in right now. See, he'd been watching. He watched me at all those gun shows for years. And he said, I know one thing. I've never seen you lose money. I said, because I got an inside trader. How many know you're not supposed to have inside trades? I have an inside trader. He can tell me what to do, what not to do, and keep me out of those messes. He can tell you what to buy, what not to buy, and keep you out of those messes. He can tell you what partner to take in your business and what partner not to take and keep you out of those messes. And I led that young man to the Lord. Got a call from his mother, Pentecostal preacher. Said, I don't know who you are, but said, my son talked very highly of you. And I said, well, I got to lead your son back into the kingdom. And she was, of course, crying on the phone. And she said, How did it happen? I said, he was watching my life. But I didn't know he was watching it the way he was. See, there's people watching you right now. And you're letting your light shine. It might only be this little light here. But it's still a light. That little light, if all these lights go out, this still will lighten up. I was in Target's one day. All the lights went out. It was pitch dark. Heard this little girl go berserk. I got my little light out. Turned it on. Said, honey, hold it. We got light. Led her right to her mama. That's what it's all about. We do the same thing, but it's Jesus in us that can lead them from danger right into the good places. You catching it?
Yes.
You catching it? Will God use you? Yes, He will. Will you let Him use you? That's the question. Will you let Him use you? Amen? I mean, we're just scratching the surface on what we're getting ready to teach, okay? I'm just building the base, giving you the illustrations, and then we'll go a little deeper and a little deeper. When I was in prayer today, and then when I was in praise and worship, thank you, praise and worship group, for ushering us into the presence, because that's when I like to fine-tune for a meeting. I like to really fine-tune, say, okay, Lord, what about this group? What is it? And I picked up that somebody has numbness in their feet. Numbness in your feet. If that's you, I want you to come up here. I want to lay my hands on you. Numbness in your feet. Your feet go numb. I'm not saying that all the feeling goes out of it, but it has a numbness there. If that's you, I want you to come up. Numbness in your feet. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Numbness in your feet. The other thing that was an eardrum. An eardrum that's been either damaged, maybe busted, but it's an eardrum that you come up. Eardrum. Numbness in the feet. Numbness in the feet. Eardrum. Just stand right here. Numbness in the feet. Eardrums. Next thing I picked up on was high blood sugar. High blood sugar. This could be what's causing numbness in the feet. Amen? High blood sugar. Okay? Right here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, I don't just make these up. They come up in my spirit man. They come up and I call them out when God says to. And so you're responding to what God's saying. Not really me as a person. I'm just the instrument He's using. He's ready to heal your body tonight. You have to receive that. He's the healer. You've got to receive it. Amen. Are you ready to receive it? You ready to receive it? You ready to receive it? Amen. Come right on up here, brother. You ready to receive it? Your healing. Amen. Amen. Got somebody that can stand behind them. Thank you, Lord. You come up a little bit more. A little bit more. What part on you?
I've got a cancer, an ear right
okay.
here.
Okay.
Cancer.
Okay.
As you can see.
Yep, leg.
Need new knees.
Yep, new knees. You need an overhaul. Father?
We got a bigger problem than that, too.
Amen.
Marriage situation.
Amen. Amen. He knows your name. He knows all your needs.
That's right.
I want everybody to stretch your hands here. This is not one, it's not a show. Whichever stretch your hands here. We're going to start praying. If you know how to pray in the Holy Spirit, that's what I want you doing right now. Father, I'm praying for my brother. I'm praying for his knees. I'm praying for his ear. I'm praying for his marriage. He needs an overhaul. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And Father, I put my agreement with him right now for the healing power of God. That one word from God that changes our lives, changes our destinies in Jesus' name. And I thank you for that, Father. I feel you working on his behalf right now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it. You just stay right here. Walter, come up here and stand with you. In what area?
Feet.
Feet, okay.
Blood sugar.
A blood sugar causing the feet. In the name of Jesus, I command that blood sugar. I command that pancreas to work. I command that blood sugar to stabilize. And I command these feet to be healed. I command all numbness to leave them. And I command all feet problems to be corrected. And I command that blood sugar in Jesus' name to stabilize. You stabilize in Jesus' name. And I pray that now. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Stomachs. Stomach. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Kidneys. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You're working on his behalf right now as we pray. And I thank you for it. Thank you, Lord. What area?
Ear.
Ear. Okay. Father, I praise you and thank you. And Father, just as that little girl, you opened her ears and you repaired her ears. I pray for my brother right now, and I command that ear, you come in line with the Word of God. You be healed. You hear normal in Jesus' name. And I command all those restoration, restored. Oh, in Jesus' name, restoration. I can pick it up real strong in restoration and restored. Restoration and restored in Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it, Father. In Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Jesus' name. What area?
Ear.
Ear? Yeah. Which one?
Right.
Right. Okay. Both of them have been the right ear. Father, I praise you and I thank you that in Jesus' name, right now, I pray for the ears. And I pray in Jesus' name, open, just as it was done with that little girl that came up and had never heard, and you cleared her ears. I ask you to clear this ear in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And I thank you for it, Father. From the top of his head to the soles of his feet, restoration, restoration, reconstruction in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Now that anointing is real strong. It's real strong right now. Real strong. Real strong. Real strong. Real strong. Jesus' name. And say, I receive it.
I receive it.
By faith. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord.
I thank you,
Lord. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. What area?
You know, it's so hard on me right now is that I have a learner's license and I want a full-time license.
Okay.
And so I think what's so hard is that I have an obstacle in the way that's
okay.
Holding me back.
Okay.
It's one, I have a person that's holding me back.
All right. Okay.
God.
Father, I thank you in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. All obstacles, I command them to get out of his way. Principalities and powers of the air, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Jesus' name. Need your guidance. Need you to lead. Need you to guide. In Jesus' name. Say thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
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 I pray for your mind.
Thank you, Lord.
And I thank you, Father, that it's a sound mind.
Thank you, Lord.
And I thank you for that, Father. Sound mind.
Sound mind.
Sound mind.
Sound mind.
Thank you, Lord.
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 Praise
you, Father.
Praise you, Father.
Praise you, Father.
Praise you, Father.
Now, the next thing I want to pray for, and then I'm going to finish it up tonight, but I want every head bowed, every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, what I've been talking about, that's the first step. You have to receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. If you're here tonight and you have not done that, do you say, Joe, I'm here and I do want to receive Jesus tonight. I just want you to raise your hand. Nobody looking around. Nobody looking around. I want to take for granted everybody knows the Lord. Because if you came tonight and you don't, I want to lead you into the kingdom. You'll be into the family. Are you here? Just raise that hand. That's all. His part is he'll lead you into his kingdom. Your part is you have to make the decision. Your part is I got to raise that hand. You raise that hand, we'll pray you through in Jesus' name. Is there anyone here? Anyone here? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Now, everybody look up here. The last thing I'm praying for tonight is somebody has a financial need. But this is not the normal financial need. This is a, you've got to have it. In other words, it's a crisis with you. And it's a financial need that God wants to meet. And I want to pray for that need right now. So if it's you, you just raise your hand. I see that. Anybody else? See that? Anybody else? Financial need. It's got to be taken care of. In other words, this is not just something you're believing for. This is something that's got to be taken care of. Amen? It's very serious. Okay? Anybody else before I pray? Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, the ones that raised their hand, you're going to show them and lead them and guide them into freedom into that area. I call the favor upon them in Jesus' name. I thank you that the blessing has already been provided and that it's coming their way right now. You already have the plan set. You already have the things in order. All they have to do is walk into them. And now I'm praying that they'll be led by your Spirit and walk right in to that blessing that God has for them. You're going to turn this into a witness. Everybody sees it, but you're going to turn it into a witness. And I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody say, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it, Lord. And I thank you for it.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Pastor. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's stand together.
Thank you, Lord.
They said, how can this be? How can we eat your flesh and how can we drink your blood? How can we but Jesus stood his ground, and the Bible says that as a result of that saying, many of the disciples who were around him abandoned him at that point. And Jesus turned to his disciples who were closest to him, and he said, are you guys going to go too? And their response, you remember, was, Lord, who shall we go? You have the words of eternal. You're the fountain of life, God. So, Father, today, having been in your presence, having heard the word, having had the seed of God, the word of God, planted and grafted into our spirit, Father, we echo the words of the disciples of old. Where else could we go? Where else could we go? Where we would have partations of the Spirit that make us alive on the inside, that quicken us and bring us into the fullness of Christ. Father, we pray then, having been so blessed, we pray blessing and blessing and blessing and blessing upon blessing over the Word of God. We seal, Father, we seal the Word of God so in our heart. We receive it and we seal it by the operations of the Holy Spirit, Father, that our lives would be shaped and transformed by what we hear. Father, that indeed our light would shine. Father, that our light would shine, that our witness would increase, even so to speak, without a word, by the very testimony of the operations of the Holy Spirit. So, Father, we declare blessing over this congregation as we go now. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Martha and Judy, at the product table, if any of you wish to purchase product, they'll be able to help you.
A case for this on your hip.
The blessing will continue.
You know what? It was.
Sandy?
Oh, thank you.
The lightest light, I'm going to turn it on.
That's okay. It's just the power. But you hit stop.
Yeah, I did hit stop.
Perfect. So, yeah, then just...